You want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 6? When I was growing up, I had a problem with two words, may and can. I would oftentimes ask my mother or teacher or somebody, can I go do this? Can I go out and play football with my friends? My mother's answer would be, I don't know if you can or not. And I said, what do you mean you don't know? I just don't know if you can or not. And finally, I realized she was trying to get me to say, may I go out and play football with my friends? And then she'd say, sure, if you can, go ahead. You know, it's up to you at that point. And the game that really helped me the most is a game probably every one of us has played, Mother May I, right? How many play Mother May I? There you go. If you didn't play Mother May I, you've missed out on something. We'll have a game after church. But somebody plays mother, it can be a male, and then you have all the friends back there, they're the children, and mother sits up there and she says, Gary, you may take one giant step. So I, nope, you got to go back, you didn't say may I. Okay, go back. Wait my turn again. Gary, you may take one tiny baby set. Mother may I, thank you so much, mother may I. Yes, you may. So, okay. But anyway, that's what, in the game is, if you get there first, the way we played it, and you could touch mother, then you could become mother, whether you're male or female or not. It didn't matter. But it really made a difference in helping me understand what it meant. May I means you're asking permission for something. Can I means do you have the ability to do it? You may go do it, but I don't know if you can or not. I don't know if you have the ability to do it or not. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit and His empowering of us, the Holy Spirit gives us permission to do the will of God. Matter of fact, He gives us instruction to do the will of God. It's not only Mother May I or God May I, it is should. God's saying you should, you must do these things. And then the Holy Spirit also, though, empowers us. And that's the focus of where we're going this morning. If God said, you may go do this, maybe my first question is, can I? And depending on what we're going to be talking about, would depend upon His answer. What sometimes I think we may confuse is that Jesus Himself, when He was here, was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I used to think that Jesus could go to bed at night and He'd say, tomorrow I'm going to heal three people, cast out a demon out of one guy, preach a little bit over here. Now, the Spirit may have told Him that in advance, but I've got a feeling that a lot of times Jesus just followed the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit led Him, things happened and the Spirit empowered Him. For example, remember the lady who wanted just to touch the garment of Jesus? If I could just touch the garment of Jesus, I could be healed. I don't know that Jesus realized somebody's crawling around the ground trying to touch the garment or not. But He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what the will of God was. He was baptized, Luke 3:22, and the Spirit descends upon Him. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted. Now, again, I wonder, did He wake up that morning and say, okay, day to day of temptation, you know? Or did He go and be baptized and then the Spirit said, we've got a trip to make? I kind of think it may have been the latter of the two. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. And then He went about healing, casting out demons, all kinds of miracle works by the power of the Holy Spirit. And He made a promise to all of us who place our faith in Him, John chapter 7, that rivers of living water will come within us. And by that, John said he meant the Holy Spirit. So every one of us who made a commitment to Jesus Christ and have sought to follow Jesus Christ have living waters, the Spirit, living within us to empower us to do what God's will. In Acts chapter 6, there's just too much information in these two chapters, but let me mention a couple of things. There's a problem going on in the church in Jerusalem. the Gentile women, widows, are not being taken care of. The Jewish widows are. And so the apostles say, man, we've got to focus on what God told us to focus on, but this is important. Let's get seven good men and let them take care of this. And so Stephen was one of those. He was said to be wise and full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He was full of God's grace and power from the Holy Spirit. He did great wonders and miraculous signs by the Holy Spirit. And there were those when he preached, it says in chapter 6, verse 10, who couldn't stand up against him. They wanted to refute him. They wanted to deny what he said being true, but they couldn't do it because it was the Holy Spirit who was speaking through him. The Holy Spirit is doing the empowering. And so in the next few verses in chapter 6, they make up this idea that Stephen's been blaspheming God, blaspheming the temple. We've got to do something about that. So they bring Stephen in before the Sanhedrin. In chapter 7, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, comes before the Sanhedrin. Now, there's 50 verses before we get to the application part. So I'm just going to do you a little history summary of what's in those 50 verses. It's very clear, and you have time to read it on your own when you go home. History lesson he gave them. Your ancestors, whatever God sent to them, they resisted it. Your ancestors, whoever God sent to them, they resisted it. And it happened over and over and over again. And by the way, you are just like them. You stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your ancestors didn't persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one, and now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law, you who have received the law that was given through angels, but have not obeyed it. That's not a message I would like to hear. They didn't either. When the Sanhedrin heard this, they became very angry. They ground their teeth at Stephen, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. He looked up to heaven and saw God's glory. He saw Jesus standing at God's right hand. Look, he said, I see heaven open. The Son of Man is standing at God's right hand. When the Sanhedrin heard this, they covered their ears. They yelled at the top of their voices. Another thing I did as a child. I don't want to hear you. I'm not going to hear you. I mean, we all did that probably, right? They yelled top of their voices. They all rushed at him. They dragged him out of the city. They began to throw stones at him to kill him. The witnesses took off their coats. They placed them at the feet of a young man named Saul, who later, many of you know, would become an apostle of Jesus Christ named Paul. While the members of the Sanhedrin were throwing stones at Stephen, he prayed. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, he said. Then he fell on his knees. He cried out, Lord, don't hold this sin against him. Does that sound familiar to you? Anybody else come to mind that says something about it like that? When he had said this, he died. I see the body of Christ as the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We as the body of Christ are to reflect Jesus on this earth. When we think about that, how can we do that? It takes people full of the Holy Spirit who are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do that. You're familiar with that. Niagara Falls. I got the chance to go there one time. Great power. First power, though, ever received from those falls were in 1759. A man by the name of Daniel John Kerr, if I say it correctly, He built a little tunnel in the ground right above where the falls began. So water rushed off into his tunnel and went down through this narrow ditch. He drew enough water to empower a water wheel so that he could do his work with that water wheel. The water had the power to produce that, but there had to be a connection to it. Power was always there. Now, it puts out 5 million kilowatts of power by all the work that's been made connected. 5,000 watts. I got a 60-watt bulb in my front door. 5,000 watts of power. But there had to be a connection with that. And Jesus wants to change us. The Spirit wants to empower us to be like Jesus. I've talked to a lot of people, and you have too, who said, you know, I'm not half bad. So let's just go with somebody who's not half bad. There's other people who might be badder. But this person's not half bad. Not even up to half of the glass. And God wants all that removed. And so, he sends him the Holy Spirit. When he becomes a Christian, we are given the Holy Spirit. And we take that Spirit in. And he begins to empower us to become more and more like Jesus. We begin to look like him and talk like him and act like him. And that evil starts to leave us as we take in more and more of the Spirit of God. And we get full of the Spirit. And when we get full of the Spirit, the evil just keeps on leaving us and leaving us and leaving us. We get more and more like Jesus as we connect with the Spirit, as we connect with him in the Word of God. And if we keep connecting enough, we become a person that when they look at us, they just see somebody that reflects Jesus. I may do something I shouldn't again. If I do, there'd be a little bit more meanness in me, and I just have to take a little bit more of the Spirit to get the rest of that out of my life again. But that's the function of the Holy Spirit in our life. That's the importance of us being connected with the Holy Spirit. So internally we're changed. And Paul says, you walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of your flesh. You won't do it if you're walking by the Spirit. So we look like Jesus externally. People look at us and they see a reflection of Jesus. And they see things like the Holy Spirit produces by his power, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against any of those things. You can look at other passages that talk about the way that we're changed by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13, we're not easily angered. We're not rude. We're patient with people. Those changes that take place. We don't hold on to sin. We don't hold on to somebody's sin against us. We easily forgive. That's something that just doesn't come about naturally. That only comes about by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. He enables us to do that. And just looking at the life of Stephen, excuse me, there are services, there are things that the Holy Spirit empowered him to do in serving the needs of others. When the apostles looked for those 7 men, they looked for people full of the Holy Spirit. We want somebody who has the mercy of Jesus Christ as they serve these Gentile widows that Jewish people don't seem to care too much about. somebody's life has to be changed, and they know that God loves them as much as he loves the Jews. He enabled Stephen, empowered him to be a witness to the people as he preached and told them about Jesus Christ. And he stirred up their hearts. Many of them became Christians. Many of them became angry enough to go to the Sanhedrin. But he was empowered enough to tell the truth to non-believers. That's not an easy thing to do, is it? We need you to know the truth about what's going on in your life. Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. It empowers us to face opposition with confidence. Stephen went in before the Sanhedrin. It says his face shined like an angel. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He is empowered with confidence to speak to them about what they need to hear. He withstands opposition with grace. Hard to do. Somebody's opposing you, done evil to you. They're stoning Stephen. And Stephen's saying, would you let this one off? Would you just not count it? Would you just act like it didn't happen? He had that kind of power to forgive by the power of the Holy Spirit that enabled him. You can face death without fear. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When this is over, it's going to be fine. It's going to be better than it is down here anyway. So let's just go. I'll stay with it. I'm not turning back. I'm not changing the message. I can face this death with fear, without fear. And we acquire, as we already talked about, the character of Jesus. People see in us people who aren't rude. They see people who are easily forgiving. They see people who are not easily angered. They see all those attributes, and they wonder, where in the world did you get like that? How did you get that way? And they might even say, may I get that way? And there's a good answer to that. So what? What now? I want to encourage anyone who's outside of Christ to put on Christ today. If you've left Christ, to come back to Christ today. You say, may I? Yes, you may. Can I live for Christ? Yes, you can, not by your own self. But you have to make that commitment to put on Jesus Christ today. Sometime that has to come about. Today's the day of salvation. If you've left him, you need to come back to Christ. You need to plan to commune with the Spirit, with God. Mark talked about this last week, and I bet he talks about it next week, or whoever preaches like Barry is. There's that connection you heard when I read Ephesians 5 at the beginning and Colossians 3. One talked about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. The other talked about being in connection with the Word. They're parallel passages. As we get into that Word, the Holy Spirit takes more and more power and fills us more and more and drives out more and more of the sin in our life so that we become like Christ. Maybe as you drive home today, you have a little conversation, and it's about, with whom do I need to have a truthful talk? You know, I've been thinking, it's been on my heart for quite a while, to talk to Joe about the fact that if he stays on the path that he's on, it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead to destruction, not only eternally, but in this life. Somebody needs to have a truthful talk to him. Somebody ought to do that. Well, maybe you or maybe I and that somebody. And maybe the Holy Spirit would empower us if we would place enough faith in the Holy Spirit to go and act and then see what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's not going to push us. He's not going to make you go. But if you go in faith, he will give you the power to do what you're called to do. To whom do I need to respond to evil with grace? Who is it that's done you wrong? Who is it that maybe our first thought is trying to get the revenge, but the thoughts in Scripture about Jesus and people full of the Holy Spirit is to respond with grace. God's going to handle all this and the right and the wrong when it's all said and done. But I want to try to respond in such a way that they see Jesus. Because without that, they may not know what direction they can go. Maybe I need to ask myself, what obstacle or what sin do I really need to get out of my life? I have been easily angered, and that's just wrong. It's not the way Jesus was. I need to get that out of my life. I need to spend time with the Spirit and ask Him to enable me, to power me, to get that out of my life and really get quit in that. Or what Jesus trait do I need to really grow in? When you think about where we are in life, we all have room to grow, don't we? I don't care how long you've been a Christian. If you're as old as I am, you've got time, and been a Christian as long as I have, you've got room to grow. What trait, when I look at Jesus' life, do I need to be more like Him? Who do I need to have that talk with that I've been thinking, somebody needs to tell him he needs to become a Christian? Somebody ought to do that. Can the Holy Spirit empower us to do that? So, Jesus says, you may obey me. We say, can I? Big question. A lot of people don't put on Christ because they're afraid they can't live like Christ. And Jesus is saying, not by might nor by power, but my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Now, I can tell you, if you try to go on it on your own, you still will be half bad, at least half bad. But if you use my Spirit, you can obey me. You can follow me. You can look like me. You can work for me. So, if you are ready to come to Christ, devote yourself to being full of the Spirit, you want to pray about things going on one way or the other, good, bad, ugly. If you're like me and you've got some things facing you that you're going to have to deal with in a kind Jesus way, come on to the back. If you want to give Christ your life especially, and let's see what we can do to follow Jesus Christ today.